This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. It's always fun for me to have fellow dietitians to talk to on the show here. And I am really super excited to be able to talk to my friend Sarah Krieger. And Sarah is a registered dietitian nutritionist down in Florida. So she's joining us from a slightly warmer climate than here in Western North Carolina. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Leah. Yes, you are correct. It is warmer. The sun is out again today.
Yay. I've known Sarah for quite a while. And Sarah, I think I've known you for probably at least 7 or 8 years, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. From the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, I was spokesperson for 9 years.
So
within that time, for sure.
So tell everybody a little bit about your background and experience as a registered dietitian nutritionist.
So this is my 20th year. In 2016, it was 20 years. I always say I was born an RDN, right? I started in the kitchen, you know, worked in nursing home kitchens. I have a tremendous food service background. And that really turned into the combination of doing my own private practice work, now doing personal chef education and work to clients. My huge passion is translating that medical diagnosis into a tasty meal for clients.
So is this the first book you've ever authored or co-authored, Sarah?
This is the first hard copy book.
Oh, okay.
I did an e-book 2 years ago in 2014, and it basically was a compilation of a lot of the recipes and stories behind those recipes that I have provided my family and friends in entertainment for the last 10 years, and it was really my dad that said, What are you going to wait till you're 70 to write this book of recipes and stories? I'm like, okay. So that's what I did in 2013. And, you know, it's $5 on Amazon. It was very different writing for myself compared to writing for, for Wiley. So that totally different experience.
So we should say that the book you've written or co-authored is called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies, which the Whole for Dummies series is insanely popular. But why a weight loss surgery cookbook? Why did that sort of resonate with something that you wanted to contribute to?
So I also see one-on-one clients have been for many years, and I was seeing pre-lap band clients, you know, before the surgery. And this book is actually the second edition. I was not part of the first edition. There was a chef who had gone through, I believe, the gastric bypass surgery, and so those were all his recipes. So the second edition is where I came in. He did not want to do it, and I was referred as the combination of understanding the bypass and lap band diet, as well as the chef part of it.
So for folks who are not familiar with that term, you have it as weight loss surgery, but a lot of times we hear about it as bariatric surgery. Can you explain to somebody in just a couple sentences what that means?
There are different procedures. Some are more invasive, if you will, than others. Basically, you are bypassing a part of the stomach, making it much smaller, so the stomach can only hold about 1 to 2 ounces at a time, therefore creating the environment of eating less calories, and then the person will ultimately want to lose usually more than 100 to 150 pounds because it is invasive surgery. The clients that I have seen are more of the band group, where basically invasiveness with the stomach, but I like to picture it as like a little rubber band squeezing one part of the stomach so that still it will hold only 1 to 2 ounces at a time.
So I think I told you, Sarah, on email that my sister is a bariatric dietitian at Hershey Medical Center up in Pennsylvania. So she works with a lot of these patients before they go into the surgery and then follows them, I guess, after for a certain amount of time or as a support as well. So it's a huge decision to do something like that, right?
It's definitely not overnight. You know, if you're listening to this on January 10 and think, wow, I want to do that tomorrow. You have to back up a little bit. It takes months and months of not only education from the physician and registered dietitian nutritionist, but also a tremendous psychology component to prepare, because this is, in a weight management world, the ultimate lifestyle change.
Okay.
So you have to prepare mentally what's going to be happening, because there are a lot of side effects, and then the physical changes as well.
So again, folks, I'm talking with Sarah Krieger. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist. She's co-authored a book with Brian Davidson, and it's called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies. And it really is to help people once who have gone through some sort of bariatric or weight loss surgery sort of navigate their new dietary and physical limitations. And we're going to be talking about some of the different segments of the book, but it's everything from how to sort of organize your pantry. It also talks about cooking tips, and there is actually a very large section on recipes in here. And then it's sort of how to be successful, how to move forward with this, because this is not a short-term fix. It's going to be a long-term adoption of a whole different lifestyle, right, Sarah?
Absolutely. And again, there are definitely different stages in this weight loss journey, but the goal is to have a normal, healthy life, which everyone wants. And it definitely can be done with, you know, support of the team, the physician, dietitian, and psychologist, and then support from family and friends.
So again, folks, you can find this book. It's part of the Weight Loss, the Dummy series. It's called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook. Stay tuned. We'll be talking more with registered dietitian nutritionist Sarah Krieger about some of her tips for those who have gone through weight loss surgery. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking with Sarah Krieger. Sarah is a registered dietitian nutritionist, just like me. She works in a very different space, because Sarah, so you have your own practice, right?
I do. I have a private practice, and this isn't for everyone, but I love going into clients' homes and their kitchens, so I'm able to see what foods are already in the home and just create a very realistic plan for the individual and the family, if necessary.
So it sounds like you did use some of that knowledge and that background when you approached this book, The Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies, where you have a section in here about sort of kitchen and pantry makeovers for people once they've gone through weight loss surgery, right?
Right, definitely. You have to be prepared, just like with anyone, you know, regardless if you have the procedure or not. Most Americans lack in planning where their next meal is coming from and eat off the fly. So definitely having a pantry stocked correctly will help create menu planning and give you a family more peace of mind of what to eat.
So what are some things that I'm going to put you on the spot, Sarah. So if we looked in your pantry, your fridge, your cupboard where you store food, what are some things you pretty much always have on your shopping list or have in your pantry or your fridge?
I go to the store probably, because I cook for other people, probably two or three times a week, because the turnover of produce, I use a lot of fruits and vegetables. And so that is, I would say, half of my shopping cart and refrigerator is fruits and vegetables, and then protein comes next. I just went to the store this morning, got some lean ground beef, chicken, and so those are, you know, the things that turn over quickly. Eggs, skim milk, always a staple. And then when it comes to rounding out meals, my pantry includes a lot of brown rice, pasta. Oh, I forgot, potatoes. We eat a lot of potatoes. You know, stuff that most people would think, wow, you know, you have to prepare all that. Well, yes, but I don't cook every single day. I like to do more batch cooking. You know, I call it a party in the oven. If the oven is on, I will put in, you know, chicken, vegetables, potatoes. Maybe I'll do a pot of rice at the same time. So it's not, it doesn't have to be a full-on cooking session every single day.
I love that. I love that term. It's a party in the oven. Let's just put everything in there. Let's fill it. That makes such perfect sense. Let's, if you have it on, fill it up with stuff that needs, that can be cooked, right? So how is it different now? Cause once somebody goes through this type of bariatric surgery or weight loss surgery, how might, would their kitchen and pantry be different? How would it be different?
Just, you know, depending on the stage, right? There are the four stages, you know, going from clear liquid to full liquid to like a puree and then soft foods. And so all the foods I just mentioned would fit in that category. And that's why the recipes that are in the book are not only for the client or the patient, but for the for that person to enjoy the same foods with the family. And that is kind of the overlying message of the book. This is not just for the patient. It's for everyone in the family because we still want to eat tasty foods. So, you know, if you're cooking chicken in the oven with vegetables, maybe the client would prefer more of a gravy or a broth, something more moist, because moist foods tend to do better with the post-surgical patient. And then the seasonings, you know, you can still use herbs and seasonings and, you know, kind of move on back into your previous lifestyle. The main difference, obviously, is the portion.
Mm-hmm.
Portion, right, where maybe someone is used to eating 6 ounces of chicken, which would be like 2 decks of cards, and now they have to go down to what looks like a golf ball size. Yeah, so that's the huge difference.
Yeah, I should definitely mention in this book by Sarah, that Sarah has co-authored the Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies. There are a lot of recipes in here. Sarah, how many recipes are in here? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, I should count them, shouldn't I?
Yeah, there, it seems like a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot because of, you know, the different stages and also all the different lifestyles of people. You know, there's a section, meals for one or two if you live by yourself or with one other person. Obviously, the soups and stews would make a large amount for a larger family. So we really wanted to cover really, you know, high-flavor, nutrient-rich recipes for each category. You know, even lamb, which isn't for everyone, but, you know, there's definitely, you know, some great recipes in that section as well, including vegetarian. So no one is excluded.
Yeah, and I want to definitely touch on some of these recipes because I know, you know, there's no reason why anybody couldn't use these recipes or incorporate them into their homes because there's nothing, you know, I don't see anything in them that would say, oh, this is only for this type of person. So there's no strange ingredients or, you know, that it's, these are all just really great recipes. So we're going to be talking about a few more of these. I think we want to start off with some of the, when you're talking about the different stages, we've got some food that's more the smoothies and the liquid based things, right? That's where, how we start off in the, one of the first stages. So you've got a lot of great smoothie recipes. I saw one that was it a pumpkin one that looked really good?
Yeah, pumpkin, and it's already smooth, which is another bonus, right? Yeah, the spicy pumpkin yogurt.
Yes.
And then chocolate-covered berries as a smoothie. I mean, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, those first few weeks, you know, with the blessing of the physician getting the person off of the clear liquids and onto the full liquids and soft foods, you know, it's more about staying hydrated during those first couple weeks and letting everything heal nicely so there's no obstruction. And basically, so if you make like a huge smoothie, the person's really going to be sipping on it, you know, like every 30 to 60 minutes.
Right.
The first couple weeks. So, yeah, that part is a different lifestyle. Most Americans are used to slamming, 16 ounces of a smoothie at a time.
Sure.
Or more. So that would be the difference.
Yeah, and these recipes I see do have the nutrient information on them, so you can look and see how many calories they all have, how many grams of carbohydrates, fiber. Stay tuned. We're talking with Sarah Krieger. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist. Her book is called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies. We'll be talking more about some of the recipes and her advice on how to be successful post-weight loss surgery. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Hour. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking with Sarah Krieger. She's a like me, a registered dietitian nutritionist. She's in private practice and she's co-authored a book called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies. And it's really a guide for people who've gone through some sort of bariatric or weight loss surgery, how to navigate a new space with eating, making sure their meals are healthy meals. And the book has a lot of great advice and it also has a lot of great recipes. And I've just been paging through some of these. So Sarah, we were talking about the fact that many of these recipes are ones that you developed, right?
Yes, they are tested many times.
And who are your subjects when you have to test a recipe? Who are your guinea pigs?
Specifically my family. Yep. And my parents. And if a friend stops by, it's like, yep, we're trying group meatballs today. But I didn't test them with clients. You know, when you're developing a recipe, it's all about the timing and, you know, being consistent. So before the world gets to experience it, have to make it perfect at home first.
So do you have a couple of your favorite recipes in here that are like your go-to recipes for your family that you really like?
Yes, and unfortunately they're more of the sweeter ones.
Oh, okay.
In my family, we do eat a lot of like ground turkey, you know, chicken, fish. I wanted to really bump up some of the fish recipes because, you know, the dietary guidelines recommends that we eat fish at least twice a week, and this audience is no exception. My family, we eat fish two or three times a week, and so really wanted those to shine. So like the herb-infused poached mahi, you know, that's just something that I make every couple weeks. It's delicious. It's soft. It's, you know, the texture is good for anyone. So, and then, of course, the honeydew mint smoothie is one of my absolute favorites. When I had my wisdom teeth out, you know, in my 20s, I, you know, that was one that always came back. Wow, I remember that smoothie. That was so good that I made.
Honeydew and mint, that sounds delicious.
It's so refreshing. It's so refreshing. And so, you know, really capturing things that are fresh and, you know, pretty much available year-round, you know, so that someone doesn't think, well, I guess I can't have, you know, the sweet potato bake now. But, you know, now that grocery stores and farmers markets have more variety, it's easier to enjoy these foods year-round.
One just caught my eye, Sarah, the mango cream. I just might have to do that. So, and it's only two ingredients. How easy is that?
Yeah, and you know, I have two mango trees, so when mangoes are in season, I have to get super creative to use them up.
You can just send them to me. Just put them in a box, yeah. And Sarah, and just send them to me. I would like that. So I know that once somebody goes through this weight loss surgery, as I mentioned earlier in talking to my sister, who's a bariatric dietitian, that their calorie amounts are really reduced. And as you mentioned, the portion sizes are going to be really reduced. How do people, what are some suggestions that you have when people eat out after this surgery?
Obviously, the portions at restaurants are, you know, two, three, four times what we would make at home. The nice thing about the 21st century now is that we can go online and look at most menus that are, if it's not even at a chain restaurant, you know, other, you know, like mom and pop restaurants sometimes will have the menu online. So you can kind of review it before you get there so there aren't any surprises. So that would be, you know, step one. One of the side effects with the surgery is not having a tolerance for high fat foods,
oh, okay,
like fat and creamy. And so eating out in the first couple months may be a real challenge, but because of that, you know, like if you order, I'm doing air quotes right now, steamed broccoli, and it's shiny with the butter sauce on it.
Right.
You know, that may cause some, you know, some tummy upset in the post-surgical patient. So probably would want to wait a couple months before navigating the restaurant. But, again, you can always get, you know, grilled chicken. You know, fish is, again, you know, easy. Most people like to eat fish out because they don't know how to prepare it at home. But
sure.
Now they do, now they have this cookbook. So, you know, so there are definitely ways to do it, but getting used to the portions, you know, 1 to 2 ounces at a time, you should master that before navigating the restaurant.
So I want to mention again that this book, it's called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies, and the price on it is $22.99. Is it available on Amazon, Sarah?
It is, and Wiley.com, of course.
Okay. And again, this really takes you through all the, you know, everything from how to set up your pantry. It talks about convenient foods. It talks about reading nutrition labels. So have you gotten any feedback from any of your clients who are post weight loss surgery on the book?
So this just came out. It's only been, 3 weeks?
Okay.
So with the holidays, people are still, like, in January, now people are coming back to healthy eating, right? So, no, unfortunately, not a lot of feedback in December yet, just because more people are just now getting into wanting healthier lifestyle changes, right? We all know that for January.
Yeah. I also like what you have. I like the way they do these books, too, because there's little tips that they kind of tease out and make them a little bit more prominent. And there's these little icons, like there's a light bulb that's like a tip icon, and then there's an icon that's a warning icon. Can you explain like what that means and like what would be an example of a warning about food that you would have put in here?
As the person goes through the different stages, there's going to be, like, for example, hydration is super important the first couple weeks. So a warning maybe, or I'm sorry, like a tip maybe, you know, make sure that you're getting enough fluids and sipping all day long. A warning under that same part may say, hey, alcohol is a liquid. Guess what? That's going to give you some problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it, basically it's do this, but don't is the warning.
That's
but,
great.
You know, as my dad always said, let's let people figure it out. Let them, if they want to try, you know, something that is going to be harmful, they'll physically get a reminder that maybe it didn't work out for you for a while. So
again, folks, remember, it's called Weight Loss Surgery Cookbook for Dummies. Sarah Krieger, my friend, she's a registered dietitian, is one of the co-authors. Look for it on Amazon or on Wiley if you are contemplating or have been through weight loss surgery. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Leah.